This is the Joker, and you're listening to Mad Mystery Netcast Show. Mr. Castle is now on the air.
Mr. Castle here, and welcome to the Mad Mystery Netcast Show. This is episode number one, Mego Action Figures Supervillains. This netcast is brought to you by Elusive Lounge Designs. Attract more business with a professionally designed logo by one of our award-winning designers. Get started by going to elusivelounge.com. That's ILLUSIVELounge.com. And don't forget to mention this netcast show to receive 20% off your order. Today, we're going to be discussing Mego action figures. More importantly, world's greatest superheroes, DC line. We'll be discussing one of Superman's foes. That is Mr. Mixia Spitlick, which is pronounced Mix, Yes, Spit, Lick. And if you can say that 10 times fast, you have it down. He is a supervillain and is the first of Superman's foes to get a Mego doll created after him. He was created by Jerry Siegel and Joe Shuster and first appeared in Superman number 30. In September of 1944. That's just a little history we're going to be giving you. And for the sake of this netcast, and for my tongue, we're just going to call him Mixie. Now, Mixie is a fifth-dimensional imp that is portrayed as a trickster and prankster. And some comics claim that he is a jester. Now, there is some controversy on if he's from the fifth dimension or fourth dimension, because I've heard both. And I wanted to find out. Now, there is a great resource on the internet at MegoMuseum.com. And this place will give you tons of information on the Mego toy line and everything Mego. Now, the section at Mego Museum for Mixie states that he is from the fourth dimension. And that kind of picked my ears and thought, hey, you know what? I need to find out if that's true because I've heard both. But I believe Mego Museum's got it wrong. But somewhere down the line, this got construed either in a comic book, which usually sometimes happens, or in the cartoons of Superman and Mixie. Now, I really like horror comics, and one in particular is House of Mystery, ergo the Mad Mystery Company and Netcast Show, which this is. They produced a comic called DC Comics Presents Superman 53 in the House of Mystery. In the story, kids are trick-or-treating and get zapped by this shadow figure that's following them that turns them into their real-life costume. So if the kid is dressed like Superman, he becomes a real-life Superman, a real-life Dracula, a real-life Frankenstein, a ghost, and so on. Just whatever they are, they become it in real life. And now what the shadow figure does is he uses them to take down the real Superman, because Superman finds out something's going on. Superman finally figures out that it is Mixie that is behind the trick. And in the comic, Superman states that he needs to stop this fifth dimension foe. So there it is in writing in the comic book. So, Mego Museum, you need to change your website a little bit. Now, Mixie also told Superman that he was a jester in his home dimension, explaining why he used his powers to play practical jokes. Now, the only way to get rid of him is by tricking him into saying or spelling his name backwards. If he were to spell his name backwards, it would be K-L-T-P-Z-Y-X-M, which is pronounced Cal-Tip-Zixum. And if he were to get him to do that, that would banish him back to the fifth dimension for about 90 days. In the golden age of comics, saying Celtic Zixom would not only bring a Mixie back to the fifth dimension, but would also bring anyone else saying it back to the fifth dimension as well. Now, Mixie appeared originally as a small, bald man in a suit of purple, a green bow tie, and a derby hat that was purple. In the mid-1950s, this was changed to an orange outfit, more futuristic, with purple trim, but he still kept his derby hat. Then something interesting happened. The spelling of his name was changed from MXYZTPLK to MXYZPTLK. So you see right there, the T and the P gets transposed. Pre-1950, it was TP. Pre-1950, TP. After 1950, PT. Which I believe was a mistake somewhere, but it stayed, and that's the way it is now. Now, a comic writer came along named Alan Moore. And if you know who he is, he wrote Watchmen and The Dark Knight Returns. He took a radically different interpretation of Mixie in a book called Whatever Happened to the Man of Tomorrow. In the story, Mixie explains that the big problem with immortality is finding ways to spend his time. He had spent the first 2,000 years without moving, the next 2,000 years with only doing good works, the next 2,000 years being mischievous, which he is normally betrayed now, and the next 2,000 years he became evil. His remarks to Superman, he states, "Did you honestly believe a fifth-dimensional sorcerer would resemble a funny little man in a derby hat?" This is a great story, and if you can pick it up, it's a graphic novel. You can pick it up through Amazon or your local comic book store. And it's a very interesting story, and go out and read it. It's amazing. Alan Moore does a great job in that story, in that book. Now let's get back to Meagle. In 1973, Meagle released a line of superheroes, which consisted of Superman, Batman with a removable cowl, Robin with a removable mask, and Aquaman. But Meagle needed to release a villain for each one of them, and they came to Superman, and who are they going to release for him? Two possibles were up for consideration: Lex Luthor, Superman's ultimate villain, and Mixie. And at the time, Lex Luthor was only a simple bald man in regular clothes. That's how he was portrayed in the comic books. So they chose Mixie because of his colorful attire and being a more colorful character. The first Mixie, known as the Smirking Mixie, was produced to parents complaining that the face was too scary. So the Meagle Corporation quickly pulled the figure and came up with a more non-threatening version that we see in most common Mixie action figures. Now, on Meagle Museum, which, as I said, it was a great resource, the website says that the former Meagle vice president, Neil Kubulin, had mentioned that it had to do with DC not liking the smirking head sculpture and asked Meagle to redo it. I personally lean towards the latter. Since it's coming from a VP of Meagle, I would actually believe him that it wasn't because of parents complaining. It was because DC didn't like it. So here comes something interesting. Did Meagle take the smirking Mixie head and use it for the design of the Penguin? I mean, they had the sculpture. So did they use it for Penguin? It looks very similar. I mean, look at the nose. If you look at the smirking mouth, the eyebrows, the shortness of the hair, now it's black. They just painted black. Even the chin looks similar. Really look at both of them. Get those two. Get a picture of a Meagle Penguin close up and a picture of the smirking Mixie. Put them together and look at them, and you'll see so much similarities. Now, the only noticeable differences are the top hat monocle. The top hat and the monocle, not both together there, but the top hat, of course, is different because he wore a derby and Penguin has a top hat, and the monocle on the eye. there are some other differences, real small differences that you'll notice, that the Penguin has sideburns, painted on sideburns, and that's easy to do. You just extend the paint down and make a sideburns. And, of course, the smirking Mixie didn't have that. And the other thing was that the eyes are painted just a little bit wider than the smirking Mixie. But other than that, they're very much the same. Now, when I was a kid, 5 years old, and I had a Penguin, that was my very first figure that I ever received. And I'll give you a small story on that. We were at Kmart. And my older brother and I were able to pick a toy. And, of course, my brother, like the Meagles, they're all over the commercials. And at that time at Kmart, they didn't have Batman, Superman, Robin, because those are the ones I would have tried to get. But they only had two. One was a Spider-Man, and the other one was the Penguin. Well, my brother got to choose first. He went after Spider-Man, bigger guy, more known. So I had to pick. I can't pick the same one he did, so I had to pick the Penguin. Later on, I got a Mixie. And when I used to play with them, I used to put them together as brothers in crime because they look so much alike. So my question to you is the Penguin really a Mixie in disguise? Did Meagle make a twin brother in the two villains? It's something you need to decide. I've made my decision. I believe that they did use the sculpt of a smirking Mixie to make Penguin. Now, both Mixie versions came in window boxes with no other variation of window box packaging. So there was just window boxes, and then they came on Cressage cards or Kmart cards. What I know, because I know it as Kmart. Now, the first version of the Kmart card, our Cressage card, had square edges for the bubble versus the rounded edges on the bubble that Ladder cards regular came on. He also had extra text written between his legs, which disappeared when the second version of the card came out. So they had him in there. His legs were kind of spread. If you look at it, go to Mega Museum. You'll know what I'm talking about. Look up the Mixie section. You'll see that they actually say that you know, the legs are further apart on the first card where that was more square, and they put a writing under there like, you know, Mego Corporation or whatever it is under there. And when they came out with the ladder cards that were more rounded, his legs were more closer together, and they didn't have the space to put anything in there. Minor things, but something us collectors do recognize. When Mego gave the licensing rights to Mexico, they also produced a Mixie figure. On the Mexican version, he is wearing plastic boots, which are not found on the U.S. version. Also, his derby hat is not purple, but blue in color. His outfit colors are the same, but the purple trim is a fuzzy, velvety material. And you notice if you know the Little Letty. It's known as the Little Letty line of superheroes. If you look at the Little Letty line, the Batmans, the Robins, Supermans, and the others, Penguin, their material is like a fuzzy velour, like the trim and stuff. I mean, even I believe a Robin's tunic is like a fuzzy velour velvet material. And that must be the number one material in Mexico because they used it a lot. The packaging was a flimsy box, which the doll was placed in, and shrink-wrapped, which when they shrink-wrapped it, it would crush the box inwards, giving a bowing effect. And you'll see a lot of that. If you've ever find original Little Letty boxes, you'll notice that they're bowed in the middle. But you know what? That's how they made them, and what do you expect from our neighbors to the south? I mean, but you could find them all over the place at one time. Now they're hard to find. You say, all in all, you know, Mixie was a Mego figure that did not sell well, even probably in Mexico. And when I got mine, they were found in clearance bins, just thrown in there, clearance, probably 50 cents, I don't know. $1.99, 79 cents, 89 cents. They were just all over. They just didn't sell well. Now, for Mego to use this villain as the first for Superman, I believe was a poor choice. And the sales really showed it because they ended up in these clearance bins. I think they should have taken Lex Luthor and made him a villain. And taken liberties in his clothes and just go, okay, he had street clothes. Well, take liberties and make clothes for this guy and make it work. But they didn't do that. And I believe their sales suffered. I believe it was a regretful decision on their part, and they probably knew it. Now, let's go up a couple decades. In the fall of 2009, Mattel, with Dr. Mego, and you can look up Dr. Mego on Google and find out who he is, or most people do, that are into Mego collecting, and the help of Mego Museum's customizers, produced a line of figures modeled after the Mego figures of the 70s. Unfortunately, Mixie didn't make the cut, but Lex Luthor did. Is that justice? Or did the collectors right the wrong of Mego's decision? Food for thought. I believe they did. Well, what do you think? Could be anything. But I tell you this. Mixie is still a part of Mego's lineup, and Lex Luthor isn't. And people still are looking for smirking Mixies because they're the first ones produced. And they don't go for much money. You can still find a reasonably priced smirking Mixie. But if you want one of the Mixies, I would say the smirking Mixie would be the one to get. Now, I would actually tell you to get both. And if you can find them on cards, they're even rarer because that's real hard to find. I mean, I've seen them in boxes, but on cards, you don't see them very much. So try to get that. Well, that's a Justice League wrap on today's show. I'd like to thank Mego Museum for its great resource as well as Wikipedia. I also want to thank Mr. Sloan for his encouragements, attacks, and his inquisitive mind of things of Mego. Now I regress into the dark shadows of the mansion. Good day, good night, and goodbye.
You've been listening to Mr. Castle and the Mad Mystery Netcast Show. Be sure to check out our website at madmysterycompany.com. There you can read our blog and listen to previous podcasts located in the archive section. This netcast has been brought to you by MMC Productions. Join us next time for another edition of the Mad Mystery Netcast Show. Mr. Castle is now off the air.